stop and think about the process that we go through in making decisions that most of the time we don't even consider. Like a habit, they just automatically occur in our lives. And a decision is a fuel to discovery in your life.
Welcome to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. He's a conference speaker and coach and your advocate for the family. It's day one of Randy's new series, Making Better Decisions. Now from the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, where we want to help you be intentional for your life, here's Randy.
Thank you, Kurt. And today, as we begin this five-part series on making better decisions, let me start by making this statement. Decisions, the few that you will make in a lifetime. I mean, because there are thousands, but there are a few that will percolate to the surface that will ultimately determine the course of your life. And these decisions are critical. But you know, it's like anything in life. It's the little decisions that add up to the big ones. If you start making the little decisions with a great deal of intentionality, with God's intention in your heart, the big ones become easier to make. And so this series, I hope you will try to listen to every word. Think about your own life, about the decisions that you need to make here in 2017 as we discover what it means to see a decision as a fuel for discovery in your life. I'm going to take you over to our teaching center here in just a moment where I recorded this with my staff and visitors. And in fact, we're going to begin with the prayer that I shared with the staff. And then we're going to get into part one on this. By the way, members, remember the teaching from Intentional Living comes to all members every month. If you're not a member, boy, I want you to come and join me. We've got a special kit for you as well. The Power of One Thing in my book, Star for Affection, along with all the teaching every month. Just check it out there at theintentionallife.com. All right, let's begin part one, making better decisions. Lord, thank you for this time together and the opportunity to consider a little bit about this topic of decision making, which is a big, big topic and certainly a big issue, life-changing issue in life. Father, I pray that as we consider this today, that we'll learn some things together and make better decisions in the future, perhaps, that'll certainly honor you. And we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name, amen. I am calling this lesson Making Better Decisions. You think about it in life, wherever you are today, you're here as a product of a lot of decisions you made, right? I mean, not just one, but it's a series of things. And in fact, there's something called the butterfly effect. Maybe you've read about that, where you know that if a butterfly, you know, flaps its wings somewhere in Africa, it's going to affect the whole world over time because decisions kind of connect with other decisions, and pretty soon everything is interconnected. Now we know it's interesting because we live in a world that says that there's a randomness to everything. There's not an order. It's just sort of through a process of natural selection, things just sort of happen. It's one of the things about the world in which we live, there really is no purpose in terms of how the world treats our existence and so on. And yet as Christians, we know that we have a purpose. And so when we talk about making decisions, it really elevates the importance of decision making in our lives. And so as I start this lesson today, I hope you'll just kind of go with me a little bit in terms of understanding the significance of something that we do so naturally, it just happens, that we would just get outside of ourself for a moment and stop and think about the process that we go through in making decisions that most of the time we don't even consider. Like a habit, they just automatically occur in our lives. And a decision is a fuel to discovery in your life. Making a decision will fuel discovery, but it also can be the fuel for tragedy in your life. A decision can also be the fuel for growth in your life. It also can be the process of mediocrity in your life. So if it's true that a decision is the fuel, I want you to think with me now, and we're going to get into this a little bit as I unfold this lesson. If a decision is the fuel, then intention right? We're intentional living, right? If the decision is the fuel, intention is the spark. And I'm going to unfold that a little bit as we talk about the process of making decisions in our life. Back in 1982, when Don and I moved here and the corporate office of Family Life Radio moved here to Tucson, that was a long time ago. But I had to make a decision. I was in the process of deciding at that stage in my 30s. I hadn't quite finished my education at that point, and we had the ministry going here. And I went down to the University of Arizona, and I met with some of the professors down there in the counseling department, and I talked to people that I respected in the counseling field, and trying to make a decision if I was going to go and get my degree in counseling to really further working with families and couples and marriage and so on. And we made the decision in 1982, and I went back to the University of Arizona full-time, got my degree in counseling in marriage and family therapy, and then later went on and got my doctorate in psychology. And as I was thinking about that, driving in here this morning, about that process that I went through to make that decision, I'm not sure I really went through the process that I'm going to talk about here today. Because I think many times we look back on decisions we made and we're not even sure how we made them. Or how a significant decision that we made, did we go through a process that was really something that was going to honor Christ? And in many ways, that decision, of course, led for me to go on and get my degree in counseling and the things that we're doing here in the ministry. But as I go back those, 30 plus years, I'm not sure it's turned out exactly as I thought it was going to turn out when I made the decision, which is so often the case with the decisions that we make.
You've been listening to Dr. Randy's series, Making Better Decisions. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. When you become a new monthly member, we'll send you the Intentional Living New Member Kit, which includes Dr. Randy's book, Starved for Affection and the Power of One Thing, which, by the way, are autographed, the IL wristband, and his coaching CDs every month. And this month only, you'll get our exclusive 2017 weekly planner called My Plan for Hope. Join today. Go to theintentionallife.com or call 1-888-1717 and press option number 4. Thanks. Don't go away. Dr. Randy will be right back.
Teenagers can make some really odd decisions sometimes, like when it comes to friends, social situations, or even why in the world they decided not to study for that big test. You have to wonder, what were they thinking?
This is the Intentional Living Minute. Here's psychologist Dr. Gregory Jantz, our intentional mental health specialist.
When you have no idea why your teen did what he did, don't start with criticism or judgment. Instead, find some common ground. Talk about your mistakes. Tell him how you would have done things differently if you had been walking in faith or had the knowledge that you have now. It's a hard discussion, but when you take the lead, you're showing how learning happens, and you're building a healthy bridge of communication with openness and trust. Ask your teenager to share his failures and disappointments too. Remember to really listen. For Intentional Living, this is Dr. Greg Jantz.
For more insight and encouragement, go to theintentionallife.com. Dr. Randy's teaching today is from a larger series called Making Better Decisions. And this month only, with your gift to the ministry, you'll receive our exclusive 2017 weekly planner called My Plan for Hope. Find out more at theintentionallife.com or call during West Coast business hours 1-888-1717 and press number 4. Now, let's get back to Dr. Randy at the Intentional Living Teaching Studio as he continues his teaching.
Decisions are a powerful thing in your life. In fact, I'm going to make a bold statement that making and acting on decisions are the most important things that you will ever do in your life. And we're least prepared to do them. When have you taken a class in school on how to make decisions? When was the last time you had your pastor do a whole series on how to make decisions? When have we sat down with our young people and taught them how to make decisions? It's sort of something that just unfolds in our life. It unfolds through experience. We watch other people. We see how our parents did it, our grandparents, our siblings, our friends, co-workers, our culture, whatever it may be. And then we start to make decisions like everybody else does. And so this thing of decision-making is a really big thing. Now, we're going to make a lot of different kinds of decisions in our life, aren't we? When I drive out of my driveway, I drive down to the end of our street, there's a stop sign. And I can take two different routes to get to the store. I can turn left, that'll take me around this way to get to the store. Or I can turn right, that'll take me this way and around and get me to the store or to any place else I'm going. And we have a lot of those kinds of decisions in life. Those are kind of preferences. You know, you make a decision. I turn left one time. Sometimes I just turn left because I want to go see what's down to the left. You know, sometimes I turn to the right because you ever do that? Because you just want to see a different part of the neighborhood. Those kinds of decisions are, we make those all the time. There's preferences. Where am I going to have lunch? What am I going to wear today? You know, what color car am I going to buy? Or, you know, these are preferences. These are decisions that generally are not going to change the whole fabric of your life. Now, they may, but generally they don't. They're just decisions based on preferences, decisions that we make. Now, there's another kind of decision. The other extreme is I'm thinking of a guy who maybe just came out of a bar and he's been drinking and he's drunk and he shouldn't be getting in the car and he makes a decision to get in that car and it's a two-lane road on a dark, rainy night and there's a double yellow line and he's not capable of driving and shouldn't be in the car, but he made that decision to get in that car and he wants to get by the cars in front of him, so he passes on a double yellow line when he's drunk. He made that decision, didn't he? That could be a life-altering decision. See, there's a decision that could change the whole course of his life, the lives of others, for a lifetime. But the reality is, in most of our lives, the kinds of decisions that we're making are things like this. These are the kinds of things that I hear. Someone comes to me and says, my spouse has had an affair. Should I divorce them? There's a decision. Someone needs to make that decision. Or we have an adult daughter and she's irresponsible. She goes out, she comes in, she's promiscuous in her relationships and she has a baby and she comes and lives with us and then she's irresponsible and then she's back out on the street and we don't know as parents what we should do. What decision should we make? Should we ask her to leave or should we leave her here or should we be covering for her because of the baby or what should we do? These are the kinds of decisions that people are trying to make. Or here's another kind of decision. You've been offered a job, but it's going to take you away from the support of your family, where you have, you know, the support of your grandparents and family and all that kind of thing. But there's a job opportunity, and you can go all the way across the country and get a new job and make more money and have a better lifestyle and all that kind of thing. But you have to make a decision. Is that something that we should do? These are the kinds of decisions that we make, isn't it? These are the kinds of decisions that alter the course of life.
All right, we're back here live in our Intentional Living studio. I asked my staff the question, how do you make good decisions? And we put the roving mic out throughout the staff, and you'll hear some of their comments in just a moment. Before we do, however, now that we are just starting into the beginning of 2017, we would love to get into your hands a planner that we've created here exclusively for our Intentional Living family called My Plan for Hope, a 2017 weekly planner. It teaches on goal setting in the five essential areas of life. It gives you some sample goals, a place to list your goals and your priorities for each month. That's right here in the beginning of the planner. I would encourage you to take this and use it not only as a calendar type planner filling in the boxes of the year, but filling in the boxes with the things that are going to make a difference in your life. And this would be beautiful for your wife, guys, if you call. And ladies, you'll really enjoy this. We've created this, designed it to be really applicable for you. It's our gift to you as you share the best gift you can and will with the ministry today. We have a very limited supply, so please call 888-888-1717 during West Coast business hours or go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. And thank you for your support.
Have you ever had a problem or at least a concern about something Jesus said in the Bible? Hi, this is Stephen Davis, and if you have, you're not alone. Years ago, there was a movement called the Jesus Seminar. A bunch of men sat around a table in a room deciding what Jesus did and did not say. When they finished, they concluded that only about 20% of what was in the New Testament could be trusted as the actual teaching of Jesus. Really? This is kind of like eating at a Chinese buffet. Which Jesus do you choose? Now, this is nothing new. There was an argument following one of Jesus' more difficult teachings, and some choices were made. Quote, "As a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and are not walking with him anymore." You can hear the sorrow in his voice when he turned to the 12 and asked, "Are you also going to leave?" Simon Peter replied, "Lord, to whom could we go? You have the words that give eternal life." You may not understand some of the things he said. You may not even like some of the things, but you can still trust him. He alone gives eternal life. There is no other. For Intentional Living, I'm Stephen Davis.
All right. Thank you. That's good, Stephen. Hey, listen, let's jump right into the roving mic. After the teaching, we send the mic around with the staff and visitors and ask questions relevant to the topic. And this season right now, we're talking about better decisions. And I ask the staff and the visitors at IL Teaching Center to answer this question. How do you make good decisions? Take a listen.
Decisions that are impacting the family, I always discuss them with my wife, and then we take it up in prayer and see if God's speaking to either one of us either way. And if he's not, then it's my way. But no, I'm kidding. but you also have to discuss it with the primary people in your life that it's going to also affect.
Mm-hmm. Which is something we sometimes don't do. We don't recognize that every decision has unintended consequences to it. And we make decisions sometimes that affect other people in ways that we don't consider.
Well, I had to make several important decisions in my life that changed my life. And I had to seek wise counsel. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the counsel wasn't biblical, but it was beneficial because there were different outcomes of each decision that was presented at the time.
There's safety in many counselors, if you got the right ones. Decisions. Is this a big topic? Is this an important issue?
I'll share this. And I think I may have shared this before, but I think it bears repeating. A year ago, we had to decide where to send Harrison to college because his first college closed down. And we had 2 months of a lot of intense study and research. And my daughter criticized me for a moment and said, "It seems like you're making this a decision that's just based totally on logic, but we should be seeking the Lord in this." And I said, "We are seeking the Lord. We are asking the Lord to guide our research," because we had a lot of information to find out. "We are asking the Lord to guide our research, to help us discover the information we need to know. But there's another aspect to this that's totally in God's hands." And it was through that process I realized something just really crystallized in my mind. We can make the best decision possible, but there are 1,000 variables outside of that that mm-hmm. we don't even see.
Right.
God knows what's in the future. We don't.
Right.
And so when I make that decision, trusting him the best I can, I'm saying, "Lord, I'm only doing the best I can trusting you. Now, what happens from this point is totally in your hands." And we've seen the decision to which the college he's gone to has, there's been things we didn't know what kind of roommates, what kind of real atmosphere, how they were really going to follow through in mentoring our son. And it's been a good experience.
You know, that's good, Matt. I think this crossroad of decision making, you see it in a sense in Philippians chapter 4. I think it starts in verse 4 or 5 where Paul's saying, "Don't be anxious for anything, but in everything, don't be anxious, don't be fearful." Well, you're fearful about what? Decisions and so on. "But in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. Then the peace of God will come." And that's what I think what you're referring to. And I think there's where the world loses us right there. We come up, we make a decision, then we say we're going to trust God. And that's where the world says, "Well, what do you mean you're going to trust God?" It's kind of like, we just throw it up and it's whatever it is will happen. But that's where the spiritual moment occurs in our life. Do we really trust him or not for a decision that was made, and really trust that whatever the outcome is, it's in his hands, if we've come to this decision in the best that we knew how to do? I think that's hard for us. So I suppose if you take that logic, you can take it to the point where if you're not making a decision because you fear the outcome, that's a lack of trust in God. Really, isn't it? Really, I mean, if a decision needs to be made or should be made and you don't make it, it's because you don't trust God, ultimately. Or you don't know how to think the decision through, but you make a decision and then trust God for the outcome.
One of the things, how I make a decision, as most people know, and especially the staff who reports to me, I'm pretty black and white. There's not a lot of gray in my life. It's either right or it's wrong. So when I'm faced with a decision, when I have too many choices is when I have a problem. Case in point is Subway. I go into Subway. I go into Subway, and especially if there's people behind me who are, come on, dude, I only got a half hour for lunch, I kind of panic. I just leave. I have left several times. And the only time I go to Subway is when a group goes and I have to go. And so I decided I'm going to get something that is, there's no gray in it. It's a BLT. You know, my whole life I've had a BLT with mayonnaise. And so I go in and I order that. Well, then you can imagine my panic when I discovered they no longer sell BLTs. There's no longer on the menu. And so what did I do? I ran out. I find myself, that's a true story, I find myself kind of that same way with other type of decisions. So don't take me to a Subway, anybody, please. Unless you want a good laugh and see me like pull my hair. Well, yeah, I do. And so I find myself when I have a decision to make, my wife and I have a decision to make with a lot of different options, I find myself not running away from it, but just kind of pushing it aside and just say, of course, the churchy answer. Well, let's pray about it. Let's see what God says, which we do, of course, but, you know, then I might do something else, or I might, well, I'm going to do a little more research. I'll do the old Matt thing, you know, I'm gonna build a spreadsheet, you know, and I just delay it and delay it and delay it until it just hits me in the head. And a lot of times, it becomes black and white. The answer is pretty obvious. Then I thank God that, you know, he showed me the direction, but that's kind of my
Well, and that's what happens with decisions, because many times, if you don't make a decision, it'll be made for you, ultimately. Most important things are going to happen one way or another, with or without your having any direction or input.
I have sometimes difficulty on decisions about how to set the boundaries when I go to visit my grown children, and how to respect their home, and how to keep my mouth shut when I see things. So what I try to do is ask God, because I told them sometimes I go to their homes and I say, it just wouldn't be right for me to leave and not say something. So I have to ask God to really give me wisdom on how to say things respectfully, because I'm very sensitive about the relationships, because I have such good relationships with my daughters. And so try to really hear his voice and how to approach different things that I have to say.
See, let me just camp there for a moment, because what you did, and you said it in more articulate than I did, is you made a decision before you go in the house. You made that primary decision. I want to have a good relationship with my kids, with my daughters. I want to make sure my words are going to honor Christ. In other words, you go in already having made that primary decision. Now, that doesn't mean what you actually do is going to be easy, but you know at least you're not going to get outside that boundary. That gives you comfort, at least knowing, I know I'm operating within this boundary. That's really what we're talking about today. Because many times, a lot of people don't have those boundaries. They don't have any of that. They just, whatever it is, that's the culture in which we live today. It's being taught, you know, just whatever feels right, you just do it. It's whatever your expression is, that's just life. Just go for it. That's not biblical. Making these primary intentional decisions allows us then the freedom to know that within that, you have a lot of freedom with your family. Say something, not say something. What do you say, not say? But you know that you got these boundaries in place. That's good. Thank you for sharing that. Okay, we've spent our hour together. Hope these are helpful. Decisions are a big deal, so you got a lot of them to make today. Got decisions you got to go make? All right. Well, make good ones.
I've been listening to your show for the past few weeks about intentional living, and I have teenage children. I'm setting the tone of not raising my voice, not being overbearing. I have a comment about making intentional choices. I finally just made a choice that I was not going to be losing my health and losing my sleep over her choices. I forced myself to get up earlier in the morning so that I will have my private time with God. And it has also made me look at people differently and brought me closer to my husband.
We have lived the intentional life. Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. And our children all accepted him.
We're praying about it regularly, and so are all of our friends and our church family. So that's what we're doing right now, to live purposefully and intentionally in our Christian walk. Thank you.
That's great. Hey, listen, the more the merrier. Tell us what God's doing through your life as you choose to be intentional. In 2017 at 888-888-1717, you know, Christmas is behind. I mean, it's back last month, right? But it's kind of like Christmas all over again, because we have something very special, a packet we want to send to you to say thank you for joining as a member of the Intentional Living family in monthly support. It's not only this brand new, beautiful My Plan for Hope 2017 weekly planner, as supply lasts, a limited supply of these, that we will send to everyone who joins us in the ministry this month, but also we have the Intentional Living Starter Kit. It's The Power of One Thing, the book I wrote, along with Starve for Affection for Married Couples, and then also this teaching, the entire teaching that we're sharing with you on making better decisions. It's all part of this box that we're going to send to you to say thanks for joining. Your monthly support matters. Come and join us right now. Do it quickly. Go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Click on donate. Say, I want to be a monthly member there, and let us know the information. And boy, we'll get this off in the mail to you to say thank you as you begin your journey. Listen, life is short. And as I say, intentional living is connecting your life, your breathing, your life, your action, your strength to actually how you live. That's really what it is. Connecting your life to how you live your life every day for God. And that's intentional living. Again, go to theintentionallife.com or during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, press number 4. More on this topic tomorrow. We'll see you then from Intentional Living.